Good morning.
Morning.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of 2 Peter, I want to look at a couple verses in 2 Peter in the first chapter and the third chapter, specifically looking at a phrase that Peter uses here when he writes in two different places, and hopefully try to bring some thoughts to you from that. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet or fitting or necessary or proper. I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." And if you flip over a page, and most likely in the third chapter, in the first verse, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So in the first three chapters of 2 Peter, he uses a phrase twice that is, his intention is to stir something up inside of us, either to stir up our pure minds or to stir us up by putting us in remembrance. Now, typically when you think about something being stirred, you're probably thinking about cooking. And there are different reasons we stir something while we cook. When you're stirring something, a lot of times you're trying to mix something together. You're taking two or three different substances or more, and you're stirring them up, and you're just trying to take what maybe was just a solid entity of its own, and you're putting it with other things, and you're mixing them all together by stirring them. Sometimes you do that to keep items that have a tendency to separate, to keep them mixed up. You know, if you ever had a pitcher of water and you dumped a cup of sand inside of it, eventually that sand is going to settle down to the bottom. But if you continue to stir it, then that sand will continue to be mixed up, and then the water will look kind of, you know, muddy or dirty until you stop stirring it, and then it'll settle to the bottom. So sometimes we're mixing things together so that they will dissolve. Sometimes we're just mixing two things together so they won't separate. And sometimes you're mixing things together so they won't burn. You're stirring things together so they won't burn, or they won't stick to the pot or the pan that you're cooking them in. Or that they won't maybe enter into if you ever notice, if you're stirring milk or heating up milk, if you don't stir some sort of dairy product like milk, you know, it'll eventually curdle on you and get kind of thick and lumpy if you don't continue to stir it when the heat is applied. So when you think about stirring, you often think about cooking. Now we can stir things in other ways. Like, for example, I'm gonna use Hank for an example as a minute. Sometimes our emotions or our feelings can kind of settle at times, and something comes along and stirs those things up, sometimes in a very bad way, sometimes in a very good way. An example of Hank last year when he was playing baseball, it was either our last game or our very last game. He had not struck out all year long. And maybe it was the last game that we played in the tournament, and one of his best buddies was pitching. And his buddy struck him out. And they laughed about it a little bit, but I've played before. That stung a little bit, I'm sure. And so, you know, that of course, he never had a bad attitude or was upset about it. He laughed about it. But I know how people are, and I know how when you're competitive, it had to sting a little bit. So eventually, though, that sting kind of settles. And sometimes I notice that sting kind of settle, I'll just go remind him of it. You know, just to stir that back up. We saw him the other night, and I said, "Hey, don't forget when he struck you out last year." You know, and so all that sting just comes back up. He's like, "Dad, what are you doing?" You know, so something had settled inside of him, some emotion there, and I stirred it back up for him, just because that's why you have kids, right? Just to pick at him and aggravate him, I guess. But sometimes our emotions can be that way. Our feelings can be that way. And you think about when you stir something up, maybe in the cooking example, what do you use to stir things up? I hope that you don't go to stir a pot of chili and just stick your hand down in it and just run your hand all around to stir it up. If you do, I don't want any of it. What do? You get a utensil, right? You go get a utensil, and typically you're going to have a favorite utensil. You know, you pull out one of our drawers, and it's got all kind of, utensils with long handles, spatulas and spoons and ladles and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the times that I do stir something when I'm cooking, I like to get a wooden spoon. I don't know why. doesn't stir really any better than anything else, but I just like that utensil to go in there and stir things up. So I want you to think about those concepts for just a second. I want you to think about the reasons we stir when we cook, to keep things from sticking, to keep things from burning, to mix things together, like I said, with the dairy, to keep them from going into a state that you don't really want them to get in. I want you to think about how we use utensils, and we do all those things when we're cooking. But obviously, I want to look at a spiritual application to what Peter is writing here, because Peter says, I want to stir something up inside of you. Now, from a spiritual application, there are also utensils that are used to stir you up. Because look, by nature, our natural tendency is to not grow closer to the Lord. Our natural tendency is to roll downhill, is to get further from the Lord, to get more and more stagnant, to get more and more uninterested in spiritual things. If we do not continue to stir ourselves up and have some utensils in our life that do those things, that's where we're headed. Now, think about the utensils. Obviously, what utensils are we talking about? I think that one of the greatest utensils the Lord uses to stir people up is the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. Amen. I think that's what helps stir up any, stagnant spiritual minds that are out there. Just because I'm a preacher and Brother Tim's a preacher does not mean we are immune to things settling. You know, if I want to just remove myself from all the utensils that are spiritual utensils that are out there, I'll settle as fast or faster than the next person. And so when we talk about these utensils, we talk about the preaching of the word, we talk about things that you do in your daily life, that there's podcasts we can listen to, your own time in prayer and reading your Bible. All those things are utensils that help us stir up. But one of the biggest lies that I think God's people fall victim to from Satan is to tell us that this is not doing me any good. This church service, this time in prayer, this time of Bible reading, that those things are not doing me any good. And we kind of live in an age where, back when I was a kid, before you had, there was no DVD players, there was no TV on demand, there was no Netflix. You watched on TV, you watched whatever was on TV. And you could somewhat plan your day around, hey, well, Andy Griffith's coming on at 6 o'clock this afternoon. And when you were home, if you were there and you turned on your TV at 6 o'clock, you turned on and watched whatever episode of Andy Griffith happened to be on the TV. And it may be your favorite episode, and it might be your least favorite episode. I hated when we would sit down to watch it. It'd be one of the colored ones. Nobody likes the colored Andy Griffiths. Why do they even do them? But you wait all day, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's a colored one. But what did you learn to do? You learned to pull the best out of whatever you were watching. Yeah, it might not be your favorite thing. It may not be the thing that excites you the most and it makes you laugh the most. But you kind of learn to watch something or look at something or listen to something and have the skill of pulling out some of the good of it. But now, today, what do we have? Well, if I don't like that episode, I'll go get my favorite episode. If I don't like this, I can go get... I mean, everything is on demand. And so the input that we have as far as entertainment goes is usually always top-notch because we can go find what we want. Well, church and preaching is not like that. And so we're losing the skill of saying, you know what, that might not have been the most powerful atomic nuclear sermon that I've ever heard in my life. And we just have a way of just tuning out, not realizing that there are some things in there that are good. Now, when you go to stir, I want you to think about this. Let's say that you got peas on the stove and they're boiling there and you're going by there occasionally and stirring them. How do you stir those? Do you go over there and say, peas go everywhere? You don't do that. It's a gentle stir, right? And a lot of times I need you to understand that when it comes to spiritual utensils, a lot of times it's just a gentle stir. If you're coming to church or you're sitting down for prayer or you're going to your time to read the Bible or to fellowship with people and you're expecting every single spiritual encounter you have to be, like I said, this nuclear explosion, it's not that way in the kingdom of God. It's a gentle stirring. So don't let the devil convince you that these things are not doing us any good. Because you may come in here and you say, well, that Luke, Brother Luke, boy, he didn't have it today. He was dry. Yeah, I just didn't feed off of him. You don't ever know that the Lord might have just gently stirred you just a little bit, just to keep you from settling. Now, I want to look at a few things here this morning, speaking of a spiritual stirring that Peter talks about. I want you to think about when you don't stir while you're cooking. One of the main reasons I mentioned is because a lot of times whatever you're cooking might stick to the pan. Have you ever had that happen? You walk away for a few minutes and you're like, oh, I forgot to go stir it. And you go stir it and you can just feel it, whatever it is. You can feel it on the bottom of the pot. And you're like, oh, no. And then you start kind of scraping a little bit. And you think, maybe nobody will notice. And then these big black chunks just come up to the top and you're like, it burned. It burned. What happened when something like that, when something that you should be stirring, when it sticks? That means that it has adhered to the wrong thing. What you're wanting to stir, let's say you got a pot of chili there and you're wanting to keep it stirred so it won't stick to the bottom, and all of a sudden you feel that chili sticking to the bottom of that pan. I never intended for the chili to stick to that pot. That chili stuck to the wrong thing because I did not stir it enough. Now, with God's people, if we do not stir up our pure minds with the utensils that God gave us, we will find ourselves adhering to the wrong thing. Yeah. Now, notice this. In the book of 1 Kings, I want to read to you about a man. If you think, it's never going to happen to me, as the old saying goes, that is hogwash. Because we're going to read an example here of a man that God's word identifies as the wisest man to ever live. His name was Solomon, right? The wisest man to ever live. Solomon reaches a point in his life where he stops stirring himself spiritually and he adheres to the wrong thing. And it says in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations, notice this, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. It is astonishing to me that the man who the Bible identifies as the wisest man of all time, when he stopped being stirred spiritually, when he stuck to the wrong thing, I mean, he went to the farthest end of the spectrum that you could go. Because if he's the wisest man, did he not remember that God said, you are not to bind yourself in marriage to these women of these other nations? Don't you think the wisest man would have known that? I'm sure he knew that. But did that settle? Did that knowledge at some point begin to settle in his mind? Kind of like with the example of Hank, that emotion there can settle. The knowledge that we have can settle. And as it begins to settle, because he's not stirring it up with the spiritual utensils that God gave us, it settles and settles and settles and settles. And this wisest man of all time now is fixing to go against the Lord's direct commandment, do not go in unto these women of another nation. And he didn't just go find him a wife. Don't misunderstand now. He didn't just go find a wife. It says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and notice this, and his wives turned away his heart. And it goes on and it says, For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And then it goes on and says, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Do you see what they did? Solomon quit stirring himself. He stuck to the wrong thing. He adhered himself to the wrong thing. He joined himself with all of these women that the Lord said, don't do this. And the end result of that is that they turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord. So much so that he goes and he's offering sacrifices to false gods, just like what he would have described as the heathen doing. Don't ever think that you're above adhering yourself to the wrong thing.
Right. Amen.
A gradual removal from the utensils that God has given us to keep us gently stirred, a gradual removal from that can see us go from being extremely wise about something to being as intertwined with worldly things as we could possibly imagine. You see, Solomon didn't stir himself, and he got stuck.
Right.
Maybe that stick is mental. Maybe it's physical. What about you stir things to keep them from being burned, right? We've talked about that a little bit. You stir things to keep them from getting burned. Now, if you look in the book of 1 Timothy, it's a very interesting verse here when we're thinking about this. When I go to stir that chili that I can remember one years and years ago, I don't even know if we had children yet, but I let that happen. I didn't keep an eye on that chili and stir it like I should have. And when I tell you that the bottom down there burnt, I mean, there was no separating. It was like, I can't go pick all this out. I mean, it was just, it. You know what it was? It was useless. It was absolutely useless and had to be thrown out. If we do not maintain a stirring of ourselves, you can become useless in the kingdom of God. I know that sounds harsh, but that is so true.
Yes.
Useless in the kingdom of God. Now, in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in the first verse, it says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So who are we talking about? Are we talking about the wicked that have no interest in God? Or are we talking about here people that have walked in the faith? These are children of God. That some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you know what seducing spirits and doctrines of devils will do? They will convince you to take away your utensils. They'll say, lay those utensils down. You ain't got to worry about stirring them. But what does it say? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. There's the burning. The conscience seared with a hot iron. If there's no other example in the Bible about children of God who laid down their utensils, walked away from the utensils, and being burned and being useless in the kingdom of God, it's in these two verses right here.
Right.
Useless in the kingdom of God. Does that mean they're not children of God? No. Does it mean that heaven won't be their home? No. But God put us here. He planted us here as a vineyard. That's what he describes us as. He describes us as a vineyard, and a vineyard is supposed to bring forth something. What is that fruit? The Bible speaks in many places about things that should bring forth fruit, but they don't. You know, there's a fig tree that the Lord curses and says, you'll never bear fruit again. The happiest we will be in this life, on this side of heaven, is walking in the kingdom of God and bringing forth fruit and being profitable and useful in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You may not feel that way. You say, no, I'm much happier when I'm out doing something I enjoy. I'm not talking about happiness. Maybe I used the wrong word. I'm talking about joy.
Right.
Joy. That's where you will find the most joy, is when you're bringing forth fruit. What does it mean to be useless in the kingdom of God? It means that you're not bringing forth any more fruit, that you are not bringing any light to this world. Now, these people that had their conscience seared or burned with a hot iron, do you think they're useful in the kingdom of God? No. Because they quit being stirred. Let me give you one more example here. When I talked to you earlier about when you're heating up a dairy product, that you have to just kind of gently keep that constantly stirred, like, for example, milk, because it will curdle on you, and that's not your goal. You don't want it to be curdled milk. You want it to be warm milk. But when you apply that heat to it, if you're not stirring it, you're going to make it useless. You're going to destroy it. Now, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, we see a really good example of when heat is applied and people are not stirred properly, what happens to them. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, it's the parable of the sower. And one of the categories, there's four categories here. One of the categories is when the Lord describes a man that's throwing seed out, and it says some of the seed fell upon stony places. It says some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. This is talking about the seed. The seed fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. All right, when the heat came. When they were exposed to heat, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Now he explains that on down in verse 20. He says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, for dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now what happened here? Here's a child of God that a little heat came to him. A little pressure came to him. And he wasn't constantly being stirred like you would with milk. And he's offended and he walks away. Now, we've looked at a real world example here of cooking. If you don't keep something stirred, it'll stick, it'll burn, or it'll turn into something that you never intended it to turn into. It won't be worth anything. Peter says twice in his second epistle, he says, I'm here to stir you up. I'm here to take some sort of utensil and all those spiritual thoughts, all those spiritual feelings that have a way of just settling, I'm here to stir them up for you. Because I don't want you to adhere yourself to the wrong thing. I don't want you to have your conscience seared with a hot iron. And I don't want you to be exposed to the heat and the pressures and the tribulations and the persecutions of this life and be offended by them. I want to just gently stir you. And that's the way God designed it. So a child of God that professes to love the Lord, that would never, they will always vote for the most godly candidate, that would never deny that he didn't believe in God, but never stays in the Word of God, rarely attends church, rarely goes to the Lord in prayer, we all will begin to settle.
Yes.
Every single one of us will settle. And you might find yourself like Solomon, or you might find yourself like some of these other examples. And let me give you this in the last minute here. I wrote down some signs that you needed stirring. When we become accepting and very tolerant of sin, that's a really good indication you need some stirring.
Right.
Think about Josiah. Josiah, the king that found the law, and he began to read the law, and what he did, he stepped back and he was like, oh my goodness. We have been violating God's law all of this time, and we were clueless. When you begin to accept sin, and you try to maybe rewrite God's law to suit you so you can do what you want to do, watch what you want to watch, listen to what you want to listen to, date who you want to date, behave in the way that you want to behave, you need some stirring.
Amen.
Have you lost interest in the truth? Any spiritual truth? You know, that kind of happened to Demas. Paul writes about Demas. He writes in the book of Colossians. He's like, hey, Demas is with me. He's here. We're bound. We're together. He is helping me in my ministry. A short time later, he writes, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, Demas quit letting himself be stirred, and he lost interest in the kingdom.
Right.
And I'll leave you with this for sure. A good example that you need stirring is that the spiritually minded people that know you best can tell that you're settling. It wasn't long ago I went into a convenience store, and I don't remember what, I got some sort of drink. I don't remember if it was a Gatorade or something like that, and apparently it had been sitting there a while. So I picked it up, you know, it's got the wrapper on it, and you can't really, it just looked like a Gatorade or whatever the drink was. It was something like that. And from all accounts, from me to Brother Tim or from me to those, it just looked normal. But when I got in the truck, I looked at the very bottom down there, and apparently it had been sitting there so long that all the sugars and the food color or whatever had gone down and settled at the very bottom. And on close inspection, I could see it. And I was like, ooh. Of course, you shake it up really good, and it looks normal. But see, the person that inspected that very closely could see, hey, something has settled. But from a distance, you can't. Hopefully, you have got enough of God's people in your life that they can look at you and say, hey, I can tell that something seems to be settling with you. I can tell you need a utensil. And maybe that utensil is just a phone call or a text or something or some encouragement. A lot of times that's all God's people need.
Right.
It's just a little gentle stirring up of their pure minds so that they can be profitable, useful citizens in the kingdom of God. So when Peter writes, the next time you read it, when Peter writes about stirring up your pure minds, I want you to understand what his intent was when he wrote those things. And I hope that's been profitable to you.